Hey-de-ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. I am the author of the Living Like Christ Devotional Journal Book Series, a combat veteran, and the pastor of Alturas Baptist Church. The scriptures are more than just a book filled with stories. The Bible is the inspired word of God and many other life learning tools. One of the many successful life applications for the Bible is as our very own instruction manual for life. What are you most thankful for? In today's message, I will scripturally show what every person should be thankful for. Let's come together in unity and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while also learning a very important life lesson from God that will guide us through this life. I would like to welcome you for worship and for the Lord's message this morning on KCFJ AM 570. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the visitors that are here. We thank you for the members that are also here. Lord, we just thank you. We give you praise, we give you thanks, and we ask that you open our hearts and allow our minds to not only hear your message, but to understand it. Give us the guidance that we need in order to fully take in your message today. And give us the ability to apply it into our lives. Lord, just be with us, guide us, and we thank you for never forsaking us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Psalm 67, 4 and 5. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you govern the nations with justice.
Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Worship your holy name.
Psalm 71:8. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Amen. All right. As we know, what's coming up in a couple of days? Thanksgiving. And when you think of Thanksgiving, what exactly do you think of? Well, probably most Americans think of one set of things. Now, I call this set of things the three F's. We have food, we have football, and we have fights. No, I'm kidding. The third F is family. Now, in my opinion, that is probably what most people think of is those three things. Enjoying food with the family and then football in between somewhere. Now, I will say, being married to a very beautiful vegetarian, I have been introduced to some very wonderful vegetarian meals. But I am truly thankful that God has not forced me to try tofurkey, tofu turkey. It is a thing. I honestly do believe that my wife actually draws the line when it comes to tofurkey. And I praise God for that each and every year. But when you think of traditional Thanksgiving, what really comes to mind? My view of the traditional Thanksgiving is what I grew up with. And the Norman Rockwell paintings. You know, that's pretty much what we all know them to be. But what are the other Thanksgiving traditions that our society is actually known for? The first one is families getting together. The grown-ups dozing off after eating their turkey dinner while watching football on TV. Eating turkey sandwiches later that evening for a snack, and then multiple days throughout the next week or two. That's what we're known for. What I would like to do is to focus on what this holiday is really about, which is ironically often forgotten in the midst of our celebrations, which is giving thanks to God for all of his blessings that he gives us throughout the year. The title of today's message is Be Thankful for God. We will be in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. We have been studying the book of Acts throughout most of this year, and we will return to Acts at the beginning of next year. But from this week on, we're going to focus on giving thanks to God and celebrating the birth of Jesus. I would like to look at why it is so vitally important for Christians to maintain an attitude of gratefulness towards God, not just one day, but for every day of the year. We need to make it a habit in our everyday lives. And first of all, what is one of the key distinguishing marks of a Christian? It is a thankful spirit. It sets us apart from the other people of this world. It makes us different. It allows us to be unique. In the 21st century America, we live in what I call an entitlement culture. We have so much wealth, and as a society, we tend to take things for granted, like food and clothing and shelter. People have run for president on platforms that calls healthcare a universal human right, not just something that's good and desirable, but it's something that we deserve. There are people that consider an 80-inch flat screen television, Wi-Fi, streaming services to be necessities rather than luxuries. What we consider to be poverty today is far above the quality of life that most people enjoyed 100 years ago. From a material point of view, we are better off now, even with the high economy, than we have ever been. And that inevitably colors our visions and our attitudes. We don't see all of these things as blessings, as gifts to us from a loving and gracious Heavenly Father. Instead, we tend to view things like having enough food to eat and having warm clothes to wear, along with a roof over our head, as things that we have the right to own and that we deserve to receive. Even though most people in this world see us as an incredibly wealthy group of people, we tend to view all of this abundance and prosperity as simply our birthright. And if for some reason we are temporarily deprived of the standard of living that we have grown accustomed to, we feel put out, as if we are being denied what is rightfully ours. Now, I may be overstating this,
a bit, but it's hard to argue with the statement. As Americans, we tend to take our opulence for granted. The danger in that for those who are seeking to follow Christ is that it is going to dull our sense of gratitude. It takes away our thankfulness towards God, because the more that we have, the less that we seem to appreciate having it. Why does that matter? Well, please stand for the reading of God's word today. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." You may be seated. These days, we have effective treatments for leprosy. But in the first century, there was no cure. It was a gruesome, horrible disease that crippled and disfigured its victims. Anyone with leprosy was forced to live outside of the city, and they were forbidden to have any close contact with other people in order to make sure that they couldn't further spread that disease that they had been inflicted with to others. Now, in today's passage, the 10 men are outside of the village. They are following the rules of having leprosy. They can't get close enough to Jesus because of that disease and because of the rules. So what do? They stand away from a distance and they are yelling at Jesus, "Master, have pity on us." Jesus gives them a command, which they follow. And as they are walking, they are miraculously fully healed of this affliction, of their disease. Now, this is where I feel it is the interesting part of this story. How do they respond? They must have been overjoyed to have this disease automatically, instantly healed. And perhaps some of them ran home to see their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their spouses, their children, people they've missed. Maybe they immediately followed and went to church and showed the priests, "I'm healed," as Jesus instructed, which I do believe they did. They might have gone to the temple and made a sacrifice, which was instructed of them by the Old Testament. Now imagine if you had been suffering for years with a disease that was not only painful but repulsive to look at. What would you do if you were suddenly cured? What would you have done? Would you have immediately just followed the directions and go to the market, go to the priest, go look up some old friends, go buy some new clothes? What would you do? These men probably did those things, but only one of them returned. One of them saw beyond the gift and saw the giver, the only one who came back to give thanks. One person out of 10. Think about this truthfully. Would you have been the one of the 9 who came back and said thank you? Or would you have been so overjoyed you would have been one of the 9? What was Jesus's response to that one? Ultimately, the end of his response was, "Your faith has made you well." What did he mean by that? Because all 10 of them had been healed. They were all made well. Yes, they were. And no, they weren't. They had all been healed physically. But what Jesus is actually saying to the one who returned was that he had also been healed spiritually. His sins had been forgiven. The others received an earthly blessing, a physical healing, but that one person received an eternal healing. eternal life. Now, what was the difference? The nine only cared about the physical healings. They didn't care about the person who gave the healings, the healer. And once their illness was cured, they had exactly what they wanted. And there was happiness and relief at finally being free of that affliction. But there was no gratitude. There was no thankfulness. There was no appreciation. They just took that blessing and ran with it. Their faith was limited to believing in Jesus as a miracle worker. They believed that he could cure their leprosy. And that was it. That was all of it. But the one who came back was praising God for all to be able to hear. He wasn't just rejoicing over being healed. He was praising God as the source of that blessing. He knew that Jesus was more than just a miracle worker. He understood that Jesus was God. He had true and real faith, not just in what Jesus could do, but in who Jesus is. That faith expressed itself in gratitude and resulted in his salvation. The other nine received a tremendous gift, absolutely, but only one received the greatest gift of all. Only one gave thanks because only one had real faith. I'd like to draw a couple of conclusions from this story. First of all, it is possible to be blessed by God and not have true faith. It is also possible to receive help from Jesus Christ and not be saved. Before becoming a Christian, I was physically healed by Jesus. I was not a believer and I was not saved. And yet he found it to heal me, to give me the ability to walk again after being paralyzed from the waist down. The fact that God has done something good in your life is not a guarantee that you actually belong to him either. The key is not how God has blessed you, but whether you are responding to those blessings with faith, with praise, and with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Are we doing that? Based on observations of how our society is in general, including the Christian community, people in our society will claim to come to Christ, but it is painfully obvious that they don't really want or even desire to know him. They don't want a relationship with Jesus. They don't want to know the risen Messiah on a personal level, and they appear to not want to be known by him in return. Now, this sounds like I'm being judgmental. It's not. This is just observation. And I may be way off base with this, but it appears that they don't want to actually follow Jesus. They don't want to be his disciples. What it appears to be is they want an easy life with no work involved, no other duties added to their lives. One of the failures of why people think this way is because of the prosperity gospel that is being taught today. You see, the gospel is solely the good news of the risen Lord. It is not a blueprint for humanity's affluence. The gospel is how we know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. How many of you have known or have seen someone who say that they are a Christian, they go to church every week, they even may go to Bible studies, and then the remainder of the week, they live exactly how they did before their conversion. Not one part of their personality or their old life has changed away from them. And those are the people who go to their weekly clubhouse, they get a free concert, and maybe a message that will make them feel better about what they do in their private time. They just want to look the part on the outside, but not actually live the part where it really matters in their soul. Or they want to go to church, but then when they don't receive the blessings, they don't receive what they are seeking, what they want, they become anti-God, and then they walk away from the church with a sense of God doesn't really exist. Those are the people that were taught that God revolves around them. And then they lose their faith. And then they realize that God isn't that kind of a God. God doesn't revolve around us. We revolve around him. In our text today, the nine lepers just wanted something from God. They just wanted to be healed. And that is all that they cared about. When they got exactly what they wanted, they went on their way. They didn't look back. They didn't say thank you. They never searched out Jesus again. In the same way, many people come to God today because they want something from him. Maybe they want money. Maybe they want to be healed. Maybe they want to be delivered from some kind of addictions. Maybe they need help with their depression, their anger, low self-esteem. It doesn't matter. Somebody is out there seeking God to take care of them. Like my case, many decades ago. Maybe people just want to be around a group of loving people because that's what they're missing in their life. But when they get that blessing, they're satisfied. That's all they wanted from God. And then they received it, and that's the end of it. They don't really want to know Christ. They just want what he can do for them, what he can give them. Now, I know that you can think of at least one person that fits that description. Everybody knows at least one. And whoever fits that description, the bottom line is this. If there is no gratitude, if there is no thankfulness towards God for everything that he has done for you, if there is no desire to really know Jesus, then I am asking you to examine your hearts and to repent of those sins in your life. Because the whole purpose for God blessing us is not to necessarily draw us closer to him. It's to take care of his devoted children, his obedient children. And if you are missing that point, you are missing everything. And I know that this next example is not anybody here, but this message is not just for everybody here. Let me give you a general example. A husband's relationship to his wife. If all that men want is what your wife can do for you, to cook, to clean, take care of the children, then you don't really want, need, or deserve a wife. Because at that point, all you really need is a short order cook. You need a maid. You need a nanny. To have a relationship, to have a love relationship, you have to want that person as that person, not just what she can do for you. The same applies with God. To have a real love relationship with Jesus, you have to get to know him, have that relationship with him. Not all faith is a saving faith. You may have faith that Jesus is able to do something for you, maybe help you quit an addiction, help control your temper, help you do a better job at relating to your children. You may even be willing to follow his instructions as the other nine lepers did. You might get what you seek from him. But if that's all the faith that you have, then your faith is just the same as the nine lepers who didn't return. It's faith in Jesus as a miracle worker, but not as the savior of their life. Are we truly seeking Christ on a daily basis? Are we giving him praise and thanks every single time for his work in our lives? Are we looking beyond the gifts and actually seeing the giver? Gratitude and thankfulness are essential because they cause us to return to Christ as the source of those blessings rather than just seeking the blessing by itself. But if there is little to no thankfulness, there is little to no faith. Now, how do we know if we are being thankful? How do we know if we're not being thankful? Here's some examples to give us an idea. Which do you tend to talk more about? Your blessings or your disappointments in life? Are you a complainer? Maybe grumbling a lot? Always finding fault with your circumstances? Are you content with what you have? Or are you always dissatisfied with wanting more? Do you find it easier to count your blessings? Or is it easier to count your afflictions? Do you express thanks to others when they help you? Or do you just take it as what you are due from them? Would others say that you are a thankful person? Now, I'm not suggesting that we should be a bunch of pushovers, pretending that everything is fine. When a true Christian is in the midst of everything happening, our focus has to be only on God's goodness towards those who are truly in Christ. And when our trust is truly in God alone, when should we be thankful? Understand the circumstances. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, how long do we have to keep up this gratitude stuff? That one is pretty easy to answer. Always. We are always to be grateful in every situation for the remainder of our lives. Now, I can guarantee you all one thing. Nothing that you have in your life is truly because of you. Everything that you have has been granted by God. Everything that you own, have ever owned, will ever own, is only yours because of God. Your life is comfortable because of God's blessings. And also, let me be very clear on this next one. If you have had a rough life, that is also a blessing. It is a blessing because when you become blessed with a comfortable life, you will appreciate that blessing a lot more than those who have never had to suffer. So count your sufferings as joyful and as a blessing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I don't know about you, but these verses are very uplifting. They present thankfulness as a constant attitude of the heart. No matter what you're doing, no matter what's going on in life, no matter what your circumstances are, you are supposed to be thankful for everything, whether it is good or bad. Now, is that the way that it usually works? Unfortunately, no. When things are going well, we are absolutely thankful. But when things are going badly, we typically are not. We complain, we whine, we moan, we groan about how badly life is treating us. But God's word says to be thankful in all circumstances. God says, always give thanks. God says, whatever you're doing, give thanks. Whether you're eating dinner at a nice restaurant or you're eating broke food, give thanks. Whether you are getting a promotion and a raise or you're getting that pink slip and shown the door, give thanks. Whether you're strong and healthy and full of life or you're sick and diseased, be grateful. Whether your marriage is rewarding and satisfying or whether it's a painful struggle, give thanks. In every situation, we are to have an attitude of thankfulness towards God, and we have to love one another. How in the world is that possible? I will admit right now, that doesn't always describe me. I have a long way to go before I can claim to be able to maintain a thankful heart at all times, in any and all circumstances. There's times that I fail, and even I am a daily work in progress. So I know that everyone that is seeing and listening to this message right now is also a work in progress. How do we do this? How do we maintain an attitude of thankfulness when the bottom of our lives are falling out from underneath us? First, recognize that although not everything is good in and of itself, God can and will use everything in our lives for our ultimate blessings. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God has a good, wise, and loving purpose for everything that he allows into our lives, even the pains and the sufferings. We can give thanks in the knowledge that he loves us and he will never permit us to experience any pain unless the ultimate benefit is worth the cost. And that doesn't mean that we can understand his ways, because we won't have any idea how any of it could be worth that much pain. But God's word tells us that it is going to be worth it. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In conclusion, one of the reasons that God allows us to suffer is to refine our character and strengthen our faith. The Bible tells us that our faith is worth more than gold. It is precious to God. And when Christ returns, we are going to see and understand that even our greatest suffering was absolutely worth it because it brought us closer to God. I can say this because at very recent time, my family and I were homeless. We didn't have the clothes to be able to put on our backs. We didn't always have food. We didn't always have somewhere to live, but we were grateful that we still had God. We were thankful that we still had each other, and God got us through it. Was it worth it? Absolutely. Would we want to do that if we knew it was coming? No. But we are grateful that we had that experience. Now let's get some further advice from God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. As we enjoy another Thanksgiving holiday season, we all need to look and focus on the traditions of how the world views Thanksgiving. We need to be thankful for all of the blessings that God has given us. We need to see how the world is viewing this holiday, because once we see that, and then we look and see God, it gives us a whole new understanding of what is really important. Be thankful for God to be able to experience the three F's, the wonderful food. Don't fight with the family. Love your family as God loves you. Have fun. I'm not a football fan. I put fun in place of football. Have fun with those that you love. Have fun with those in your family. Have fun with those that God has placed into your life. We need to look at things in a Christ-like way. We are all Christ-like people, and we all need to truly be that for ourselves, our families, but most importantly, our communities. If you're here today and have found this message upsetting, that is the Holy Spirit letting you know that you need to repent of something. Come to the altar. Come to our risen Lord. And let's pray. If you're here today and you are ready to give your full attention and life to God and have a real relationship with Jesus, come forward. Let's pray together. Let's get you on the correct path that God has called you to be on. Always know, I love you, but most importantly, God loves you. Have a blessed week.
Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, the one that guides my
Hello, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. If you want to check out more messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. for the next message, right here on KCFJ 570 on the AM dial. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.